Celluloid Heroes. Opinions you can trust. Welcome to Celluloid Heroes. It's the 14th of December 2010, and I've got a strepsil in my mouth.
Yeah, because Edward's ill.
I'm not ill, I've got a really bad throat. About to overdose some strepsils.
I think actually, now listening to it in my headphones, it sounds sort of quite sexy and husky. Sound a little bit like Clint Eastwood in Gran Torino.
Or Monica and Friends when she gets ill.
Don't know that one. I'm Jack, this is Edward, as we've already discussed.
Yeah.
We've got a pretty busy schedule in our penultimate show before Christmas.
Yeah, penultimate, yeah. Through cinema reviews, I saw The Tourist.
I saw a documentary called Catfish. And Edward, yours, as a punishment for last week, his fourth loss in a row, you went to see Chronicles of Narnia. What's the subtitle?
The actual title, which might get the award for longest title of the year.
Oh, really?
It's called Narnia, The Voyage of the Dawn Treader.
No, it's called The Chronicles of Narnia.
The Voyage of the Dawn Treader.
Did they stick that up outside in the cinema, like letters, whatever?
Yeah, yeah.
The whole thing?
No, they probably just put Narnia.
Yeah. I remember when Superman was on and someone had taken out the U and it said Sperm Man.
Sperm Man. No, oh yeah, Sperm Man. That would work.
The Apollo and
Joker.
Odeon even. And we've also got a few DVD reviews for you. They're going to be quite interesting actually. We've got Salt. We've got The Last Airbender. Which I will go into depth. I think I could do an entire thesis on that. We've also got The Expendables,
Granny's off,
but she'll be back with a bang with one of her favourite Christmas movies next week.
Good times.
We've got some exciting news. Justin
Timberlake.
Yeah.
News.
Justin Long.
Yeah.
So it won't be Justin Long before we get cracking, so let's start with a song.
Yeah.
This is a song called Let Her Dance by Bobby Fuller Four, from Wes Anderson's rather disappointing Fantastic Mr. Fox.
Yeah, yeah.
Hi, this is Simon Pegg, and you're listening to Celluloid Hero.
Dance by the Bobby Fuller Four.
Yes.
Should we crack on with what do you reckon? The Tourist.
The Tourist. Yeah.
Okay. So long awaited.
Sorry. I'm not that. It just sounds like I'm dying. I'm not dying.
Is it a strepsil or is it?
I'm actually on the Foxes
other,
now.
Other lodgings are available.
I want, well, oh God knows I'm on a lot.
Drugged
but at the moment,
eyeballs.
I'm just sucking a Fox's boiled sweet.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's an exotic one.
That's,
I think this one's
considering
mango.
Considering the song we just listened to.
Yes, yeah. This, well, this Fox is fantastic.
Okay.
And it's serving a purpose, which is nice. Now, look, The Tourist. I was really looking forward to this when I first saw it.
A lot of Oscar buzz.
A lot of Oscar buzz.
In the marketing.
You can understand why. I mean, it's headed up, directed and written by Florian Henkel von Donnersmarck. And I think I should pat myself on the back for pronouncing that.
All week.
Oh, yes, I have.
Well,
and
Zach
I went to school
Ankers
with someone called Florian
later,
as well,
so.
Which helps.
Yeah.
Who won a BAFTA last year for his, a couple of years ago, for his film in a non-in foreign language, because he's foreign, called The Lives of Others, which was very, very well received. So when he decided to do a big Hollywood film, everyone jumped on board. And when I mean everyone, I mean Johnny Depp, Angelina Jolie, Paul Bettany, Rufus Jewell, Stephen Burkoff, and Timothy Dalton. So,
Dalton's in it.
Dalton's in it. He's actually quite good in it.
He's good in most things.
Yeah, he is, apparently. He is, yeah. But I didn't like him in Hot Fuzz as much as other people
did.
Oh,
really? I thought he was great.
Yeah.
Anyway.
I've written down frustratingly bad. It's a shame. I'll just go into the plot. You start the film off in Paris. On location, obviously. It's not Pinewood Studios trying to do Paris. It's in Paris. And you see Angelina... Well, you see these sort of French policemen in a van not tracking someone. And it turns out to be Angelina Jolie. And they've been tracking her every move. Why? Because she is the wife of James Pierce. Alexander Pierce.
Yeah, sure.
Alexander Pierce. Very English name. And she's the wife of Alexander Pierce. And Alexander Pierce is... is a big financial fraudster and stolen, I think, £746 million. So the Finance Bureau in England, headed up by Paul Bettany, are tracking down the wife. So as soon as she contacts Pierce, they know how to find him. And they're tracking her. She goes to a breakfast every day at some nice cafe, and she gets a letter from a courier.
How exciting.
Very exciting.
People say that letters are dead.
Yeah. No, well, they're not. This one's not. And it's got AP, which is initials.
So Alan Partridge.
It's definitely Alan Partridge or Alan Pardew.
Yeah.
The new Newcastle manager. A host of people with AP as their initials. But this happens to be Alexander Pierce. In the letter says... hi, darling, how are you? Lots of love, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
Get on the next train. Get on the 8:22 train to Venice and pick someone who looks about my height, looks a bit like me, and pretend that they are me. And he goes, all right. And she burns the letter and sort of does that. Somehow, cleverly, technology lets... the letter gets rebuilt, and they realise that what she's trying to do.
They can rebuild it.
Yeah, they can rebuild it with they put some sort of chemical on it.
Good.
Anyway, so they're on the they're on the train, and they think before they crack that code, they Johnny Depp is this guy. He's the tourist on the train, and pretend to be him. He gets in a bit lots of shenanigans, basically.
So it's a sort of mistaken identity farce, is it?
Slightly, yeah, exactly.
Isn't there something about the original guy having had so much plastic surgery or something that he was unrecognisable or something?
That's a major twist
that I've just blown.
Yeah, you could have blown the whole thing.
No, surely. I mean, I read that in the synopsis and the paper, so it can't.
Well, there's also a big evil man played by Stephen Burkoff following him. He's Pierce has taken a lot of money off him, and I think he believes that Johnny Depp is Alex Pierce, even after the Finance Bureau realised it isn't.
Okay.
And there's a bit of farcical situations that happen in a sort of action-y sort of way on location in Venice.
Okay.
And I'm not going to go any further than that.
That in itself does sort of generate a bit of Oscar buzz. They do like these sort of romantic European cities. And stuff.
Yeah, well, this is it. That's what you saw. You saw a photo of Angelina Jolie and Johnny Depp.
Yeah.
Dressed the nines on a cool boat in Venice. You're like, hang on, this looks Very cool.
Is it a comedy?
The comic elements in it, yeah. It doesn't quite know what it wants to be. I mean, there's some good ideas in there, but it's marketed to the wrong audience, so it's sort of family orientated. It should have gone straight into the adult audience.
Yeah.
Still gets a bit of a comedy, but far more dark in its tone.
I think the marketing was sort of going the way of things like The Girl with the Pearl Earring and Chocolat and stuff like that.
A bit like that, and then... Yeah. But at the same time, I mean, it's a 12A, and I think there's almost a true lies element there.
Is Johnny Depp good in it?
As always.
Is he playing an American?
He's playing an American.
Yeah. Okay.
And he's all right. You know, he's as good as he can be in this film. He's not bad by any means. And Angelina Jolie, I mean, she simply has got to get out of this sort of niche of playing the kind of know-it-all, attractive sort of espionage.
You wait till we get to the DVD review.
Well, exactly. Tonight. So, I mean, yeah, I mean, yet again.
There's a fantastic actress in there trying to get out. But
yeah, I mean, she's performed, but the thing is, well, she started off as a great actress. So yeah. She almost felt that, well, I'm not reading her mind, but it's almost like she felt that she could step back and just sit back on these.
Mm.
A bit like Cage does, you know, once a year he'll do his blockbuster.
But is it for the money or is it to please her fans or something? I don't know.
A bit of both, maybe. And maybe it's a bit
did
of fun.
Did you see Changeling?
Maybe these things
last
are fun.
Year?
Yeah, I did see Changeling.
Yeah, she's great in that.
Yeah, no, she was good. She was very good in that. I thought that film was a bit too perfect for me, but anyway, we're not talking about that. What else? Oh, if I see another rooftop chase on location.
Yeah.
I think I will...
Something very green grassy and...
I will chase someone
now.
On a roof and I'll push them off and I'll go to jail for it.
Yeah.
Not written well.
Is it... Was
Wooden.
Written as well?
Yeah, it's Florian did a bit of the screenplay.
Okay.
Just rather disappointing.
Mm.
Could have been a good film. Could have been. But it isn't.
Is it one of those things that lots of twists along the way?
Yeah, twists here, twists there. You're like, I knew that. Oh, that's quite clever. We could have used it more.
Yeah, sure.
So that's all I've got to say on that, I'm afraid.
Well, that's a shame.
Yeah, it is a shame. Yeah, real shame.
Well, another film that's come out, I think it's out perhaps on Friday, but there's some previews kicking about. This is a contender for the best picture in the factual... documentary or whatever.
Yeah, documentary. There's dockies.
Documentary, yeah. And so this is a film which has been marketed for quite a while, but I think they pushed it back a bit because it was going to come out around the same time as Social Network. So this is a film called Catfish, which is directed by not a first time, but first like the S film that's got a major release, a guy called Henry Joost, who lives with a mate of his called Neve, who's a photographer.
Neve.
And it is basically the story of this guy, Neve, gets one of his photos published in the New York Post. And, very, very big news for him. And one day he gets in the Post a painting of his photo done by an 8-year-old girl called Abby, who is a sort of art protege. And he's very impressed by this. Like, for an 8-year-old, it's amazing. And he sort of starts a relationship with her through her mother, really, but over Facebook, because she starts painting a lot more of his stuff. He expresses an interest.
Yeah.
He lives in New York. They live in, like, you know, middle of nowhere, Michigan. Yeah. And so then he gets to know the family quite well. And the girl, the older sister, Megan, gets in touch with him. She thinks that he's really cute for looking after his sister and stuff. And they sort of engage in this long-distance relationship through essentially Facebook, but they do call each other a little bit.
Yeah.
And then as it sort of gets more and more... The thing is, he is... I mean, it's so hard to talk about this without giving any of it away, because basically the unfold... I mean, they market it as a reality thriller as opposed to a documentary, because so many things fall into their lap. And so basically everything isn't what it seems with this family. It's all about... how dangerous social networking can be, because you never really know who's on the other side.
Yeah.
But there's this whole elaborate, you know, you can see all their friends and stuff. They're in, you know, they look this. But about 22 minutes in, you're quite, as a viewer, like basically they're like, oh, you know, let's make a documentary about, you know, long-term relationships on Facebook, because this guy is a documentary maker and his brother is also. So after about 20 minutes, you're like, this guy is either really thick or really gullible. And he's, you can see that he is like genuinely quite besotted by her. It's weird. And he's going like, oh, apparently she lives on a farm and she says that chickens, they lay an egg every day and stuff. It's like, yeah. Like, did you know? And he thinks this is a sort of grand revolution, yeah. Revelation. And he's basically, he's annoying and B, or he's
an
idiot.
This is Neve.
So this is Neve, yeah. And so you're thinking, and then basically something happens. She writes these songs for him and puts them on Facebook. And basically something happens that makes him question the legitimacy of this account, and, you know, whether his girl is completely what she seems to be. So there is, there's one song that she says that she's written or something. But he doesn't realise this. I realised it a lot earlier along, because I was like, I know what that song is. That's the song from The Truman Show.
Oh, right.
The Philip Glass song in The Truman Show. But he doesn't get this for a while. But, I mean, for the first hour, when these sort of, they're finding out a little bit more and more, I mean, it's incredibly creepy. Mm-hmm. Like, more, I mean, it's brilliantly done, but it's more creepy than, like, Paranormal Activity 2. And it's, like, mockumentary. And this is where I started to question it. I mean, there has been a little bit of controversy. Like, someone like Morgan Spurlock, who made things like fast food, what's it called? The one where he ate burgers.
Supersize Me.
He has said that he doesn't believe that it's real. Because basically what happens is they get in the car and they go to Michigan. They do a little road trip to try and find this farm that they live on and see, you know, what these people are.
Okay.
And I mean, I really want to tell you what happens because it's so hard to discuss.
Yeah.
But then that would ruin the whole of the middle act of the film.
Yeah.
But it's done. I mean, there is this incredible sense of eeriness and dread, and like how, like you're sort of thinking the worst. Like, if this is what I think it is, this really messed up.
Yeah.
And then, without giving too much away,
it is what you think it is.
It is incredibly weird.
It is. So when like,
and
I hope
it's
this
sort
is
of like a Louis Theroux-esque like documentary, but without going to investigate that, it all sort of falls into their laps a little bit too conveniently, really.
Does it go very sour?
If it is, yeah, basically. And if it is real, it's deeply morally suspect, which is makes me think that maybe it is all true, because you'd have to be a real bastard to make this up.
These things can fall. Yeah, I mean, think how many documentaries makers try and get stuff to fall in their lap and never does.
Mm.
These guys, you know, sounds like two documentaries makers and a first photographer. Maybe they literally fell on their lap and they can't believe their luck.
Yeah.
They've won the lottery.
Well, we'll see. And another quite suspect thing is that Andrew Jackery is credited as a producer.
Right.
And so that is a little bit of an alarm bell. But, you know, maybe they were lucky. Maybe they're really opportunistic and just went for it and this will happen. You know, I don't know. But the fact that I didn't know, it's still quite good credit to the film. The fact that I was 10 minutes into the Joaquin Phoenix one and went like, well, yeah, obviously this is a hoax.
Yeah.
Whereas this, you know, I'm still not sure now. I'd really like to think, well, to be honest, either way, it's a remarkable
He went out there thinking, and that's what good film does.
Yeah. And it's the best documentary I've seen this year, so we'll see what happens. And it's probably, you know, it's sort of like the other side to the Social Network's coin, like,
yeah.
You know, I mean, that's about how marvellous it is to interconnect people. This is like the scary side of how people can manipulate people through it. And it's great piece of work. I very much recommend it. And it has got a very big release, actually. Someone tweeted to ask where it was on. But then I had a quick look, and it is on pretty much everywhere in London, and I don't know about the rest of the country.
Right, but I might see that.
Very good. It's nice.
I just don't have the time, but I will eventually see it. Yeah.
It did very well at Sundance as well. Sundance.
Bloody Southern.
Anyway, that's a good film. So your punishment
quickly.
Narnia.
Bash out Narnia, which.
Michael
Apted certainly
didn't. Hopefully, trying to bash out the title.
Michael Apted, who's the director,
it's a lot
certainly
shorter
didn't
than
bash
I thought
out.
It would be, though. What was 100, it?
It's just under. It's 2 hours.
Yeah,
it's just under 2 hours. 117 minutes. Michael Apted, who amongst other things directed The Wars Is Not Enough, so he's got Bond under his belt.
That's a
he moved on
Bond.
To one of the worst ever, and went on to Narnia. And this Narnia is about. It doesn't even have Peter and Susan. It's just Edmund and Lucy. I mean, they feature.
They're the worst two as well.
But to be honest, they're not. They're certainly not. Do you remember Peter?
Edmund's the little brat one, isn't he?
Yeah. Do you remember Peter? They're grown up now.
I just know them from the BBC video.
Yeah. All right. Well, look, they're grown up. I watched the first one. I didn't watch the second one, which is called Prince Caspian. Mm-hmm. It's a shame I didn't watch that because Prince Caspian is a key role in the third one. So I was like, I just, you know, he's the prince. Future king, whatever. Let's just take that.
Is Tilda Swinton still around?
She is in it, but only as Edmund's sort of dreams. Basically, I'll get into it. But there's the big evil character in this is the Green Mist, and the Green Mist becomes your deepest, darkest thoughts. A bit like in Ghostbusters 2.
Yeah, sure.
But darker and more fanciful. So when Edmund's thinking of dark thoughts, you see Tilda Swinton in the mist, but she's not in it as a character. Edmund and Lucy are living with their cousin Eustace, played by Will Poulter, who from Son of Rambo, in Cambridgeshire, and their uncle and aunt. First scene, you see Edmund trying to enrol into the war. He's not quite old enough, and so you kind of get an idea that Edmund wants to be a man. And Lucy's sort of, she's a bit annoyed that she's not as good looking as Susan. Anyway, and Eustace is a bloody brat, who steals sweets and puts insects into a jar. I think she's really clever. And you find this all out in the first 5 minutes, and then like they're in a room, and it's got a painting.
this is in the real world, yeah. Not in
yeah.
Narnia.
This is all, sorry. Yeah, this is all in Cambridgeshire. Yeah. I know Cambridgeshire is a bit Middle Earth, but it's not. It's not. Is it?
It's probably harder to get to on a Friday evening anyway. M25.
Yeah, which is actually right. If you live in Cambridge, you'll be nodding your head. Anyway, look. You find that out in the first 5 minutes, yeah? Mm-hmm. And they go into this room, and like Edmund and Lucy, into their bedroom. And it's just a white room. It's a painting of just the sea with a tiny little boat in the distance. And then Eustace comes in and starts nagging them. He's a real nagger.
Yeah.
And Lucy goes, "Isn't that, look at that, do you ever see, notice that shit before?" It's like, no. It's like, it's a bit Narnia-like, isn't it? It's like, yeah. And then Eustace like picks it up and goes, "Let's have a look." And then suddenly water comes out of the pitcher, and suddenly they flood, and then the whole room's flooded. And then they swim to the top, and they're in Narnia, and they get pulled up onto the boat.
Oh, that's lucky.
And luckily, that boat has got Prince Caspian.
Oh.
And you're like, this is in 3D, by the way, for the first time is I thought pointless. I know you think it's always pointless. I sometimes enjoy it, but certainly didn't this time.
Is it retrofitted? Was it filmed?
Yeah, retrofitted. Yeah. Which is a shame. I think things filmed in 3D could have longevity, but for an argument for another day. There's no, like, it's not like you go into the room and the ship's not there, and then it suddenly is, and you're like, okay, that's fair enough. But it's just there.
It's no wardrobe.
Like, no, it's no wardrobe, and they're suddenly there, and that really annoyed me. But Eustace comes along as well, and he can't believe it until he sees what's he called, Reaper Cheap, and he faints because Reaper Cheap is like a slightly big rat,
mole man,
yeah, noble, with a sword, and voiced by Simon Pegg. Very well, he does really well in it. And hearing him that, you kind of get the kind of character he would have played if he was an Inglourious Basterds. Yeah. Remember, because he might have played Fassbender's character. Anyway, so they're on Castian's big boat called the Dawn Treader, if I've written that right. Dawn Treader.
Dawn Treader. Treader. Okay.
The boat.
Like Shredder, but without the
Yes, yeah, exactly. Shredder. Treader. Dawn Treader. And they're basically just trying to kind of, you know, they've basically got everyone on Narnia's side, but they're just like, yeah, finishing it off, polishing it off, you know. Yeah. You know, just like putting that's polishing off.
Do you think that the actual stories get progressively worse? Because Lion, the Witch and Wardrobe, you know, everyone knows the story of that. It's obviously got this messianic thing, and it's a hugely famous book, and, you know, I read it when I was a kid. Prince Caspian, I know a few people that read it, and the third one I'd never even heard of.
Well, this is it. I mean, exactly. I mean, I don't know. I don't know. I think it was
You'd
always
think
known
they would
as
have worked that out before they tried to make a multi-million-dollar franchise that it got progressively worse.
Sometimes Hollywood doesn't care. about what people think, and they just do it.
Does it still have that? I remember when the first one came out, everyone compared it to Lord of the Rings and stuff.
Well, the thing,
do you think enough time's passed for that to stop now?
Well, yeah, but again, you get. I mean, it's still Fantasyland, in a fantasy land. Mm-hmm. The problem is, I mean, it's Disneyfied. So whereas Lord of the Rings is actually, when there's a fight, you know, it's, you know, you're like,
dark,
oh, it's a proper fight. Yeah, it's dark. Yeah, exactly. In this one, Lucy very happily just jolly league, just like sword fight some bad guy. Go, ho, 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 yeah. Sharp.
With one hand behind your back.
Yeah, exactly. Which is what I'm doing at the moment.
Bloody radio.
Yeah. Damn. So anyway, they realise that the screen mist is like everyone's bad thoughts. And very, very simply, it's a very simple plot. They realise that, to cut a long story short, they need to find seven swords from, and each sword was owned by a nobleman. Yeah. Forget who they are, doesn't matter. All you need to know is they need to find seven swords and place them on Narnia table, and then all the bads lifted. Okay. And that's what they have to do. Do they do it? Read the book.
It sounds like the plot of a computer game from the 90s.
It really does, yeah, yeah. As I said, Disney, it's all a bit too nice and wraps up pretty easily. It's very badly written. Again, I mean, I must say that the actors in it and the child actors.
Will Poulter's good.
Yeah, Poulter's very good, and he has a double act with. I say he's good. He's very good. He plays the annoying Eustace too well, so you do get, you know, and you're slightly annoyed
good.
By him.
I mean, the thing with children actors is that I find it's nearly always the director's fault when children are acting badly.
Yeah, or the casting director's fault. Paul's a very good actor. He played, as I said, he's playing someone annoying, and he's playing it rather too well, so which makes you annoy. He makes him annoying. Yeah. Anyway, but he has a kind of relationship with Reepy Cheep, mm-hmm. as a friendly relationship, and they're the best thing about it. The double act between them, and stuff happens to Eustace, and he gets better during it. Okay. And that's not because what happens to him, because that would be a mockery. He's almost the hero of the film, without ruining anything. And at the end, when they go back, it's like, Aslan, how will I remember you? It's like, in your world.
Have you ever met another talking lion? That's how you remember me, idiot.
You idiot. No, it's like, in your world, I'm known as someone else. Which is, I mean, leave nothing to choice. I wish he said Jesus. Yeah. The end.
Yeah. Obviously, haven't you worked it out yet? Yeah. Three films in.
You idiot. But you know, I'm not going to say too much more about it. It was 2 hours out of my life. I won't really see again. But you know, Will Poulter is. But yeah, I saw Will Poulter. Edmund and Lucy. They're much better actors, I think, than. The Potter children. I know they haven't had these seven films and all their life, but Edmund is—he's great in this. He's a good actor, and Lucy is very good. I can see her doing really well. Yeah. So great child actors.
And will there be a fourth?
I hope. Why is there a fourth book?
Don't know.
Don't know. Don't care.
Yeah. Well, maybe the thing is, they seem to have given up on the Philip Pullman books. You know, they've probably put all their.
Well, I think. I mean, it is all about how much money it makes.
Yeah, sure.
And I think it will make a bit of money.
Okay. Well, pretty unremarkable stuff then. Yeah. But recommend Catfish. Anyway, let's play another song, and then after that we'll have some announcements in the movie news.
Yeah.
What are we going to listen to?
The Strokes, Whatever Happened. It's in Marie Antoinette.
Have you seen Marie Antoinette?
I've seen a bit of it.
Okay. Well, we hope to have Sofia Coppola's latest for you today, but unfortunately we didn't have time to see it, so we might do it next week. But yeah, this is The Strokes.
outstanding film.
Okay, it is movie news time. This just in, nominations have been announced for the however many it is, Golden Globes 2011. Well,
we're going to go through them. I mean, that's the main bulk of our news this week, and we're going to go through the nominations.
We might pop down to the Hobbit set later. But,
yeah.
Well, as you may or may not know, the Golden Globes is split into categories. So instead of having best film, you have best film in a drama or best film in a music or comedy.
We'll start with drama. Black Swan, haven't seen it. The Fighter, haven't seen
it. Inception. Okay. So, and then The King's Speech,
haven't
seen
it.
See you next week.
Yeah. And The Social Network.
So out of Inception, Social Network?
We
don't want to give too much away because we have our award show coming up on Christmas Eve.
There's some interesting ones there.
But anything missing, do you think?
Well,
I can't see any Winter's Bone. I can't see... what else has been really good? Well, no Kick-Ass. No,
Another Year?
I suppose that's musical or company. No, Another Year. No Monsters, but I suppose that isn't a major surprise. No...
Of Gods and Men, which
Gods
you like.
Men. Oh, well, that would be in foreign film. No Made in Dagenham.
No. No, somewhere, and no true
Grit's another one that seems to have missed out.
Well, never mind.
Okay, film, musical comedy, Alice in Wonderland. How the hell that?
I didn't think it was bad at all. But
I thought it was terrible.
Oh, I didn't mind it. But Burlesque, haven't seen it. But
that's out next week. That's the film with Cher and Christina Aguilera.
Yes, I know exactly what it is. Yeah. Is that what you're thinking of sending me to? Because I look forward to it. If it's been nominated.
There's two.
The kids are all right. You're happy with that?
Yeah, that should be there.
Red, are you happy with that?
No way.
I'm not happy with The Tourist. Where the hell is Kick-Ass?
Where the hell's Toy Story 3?
Yeah. Well, that'd be an animation.
Where's Scott Pilgrim versus the World?
Yeah. Well, that's a bit too indie. Kick-Ass, infuriated.
That should be there. Best director, we have Darren Aronofsky.
For Black Swan, I haven't seen it.
For The Social Network.
Tom Hooper, Speech. Christopher Nolan, Inception. David O. Russell, The Fighter. The Fighter, we probably should see The Fighter.
Yeah, well, when's that out? I think in a couple of weeks.
I don't know when it's out, but
we'll have
that
for you hot off the press as soon as it's there. It's pretty disappointing.
It's all the same.
It's a pretty lowbrow list, I think.
Yeah, best actor, we think DiCaprio is missing from a nomination from either Shutter Island.
There's Eisenberg, Firth, Franco, Gosling, Wahlberg. Actress Barry Kidman, Lawrence Portman Williams.
Jennifer Lawrence, you're happy with that? She got a nod for Winter's Bone.
Yeah, but where? Oh no, because this is Best Actor in a Drama, so they do get Annette Bening and Julianne Moore. Johnny Depp in Alice in Wonderland. Come on,
I mean,
really?
The Tourist. I mean, he's as good as he could be, but he's not amazing. Giamatti should win that again. I mean, obviously Aaron Johnson. Why is he not in there?
Jeremy Renner is Best Supporting Actor in the Town.
And as for Supporting Actor...
And Michael Douglas for Wall Street, that is mad.
There's a Supporting Actor as well. Michael Ruffalo from... he was in Kids Are All Right, but I mean, he's incredible in Shutter Island. Incredible.
Yeah, he's great in Kids Are All Right as well.
What's he doing? Anyway, we got to stress. It's the Golden Globes.
Okay, so basically... I mean, and as for Best Foreign Film comes... I mean, this is just a complete load of rubbish. The fact that Gods and Men is not in there is a travesty, and none of the girl films. But I think, actually, thinking of that, I think because they started as television series,
they don't count.
Maybe they are not allowed.
Okay.
So Toy Story is obviously in there for Best Feature Film. The Illusionist
Animated,
makes a surprise entry in there.
Yeah.
With How to Train Your Dragon, Despicable Me is in there, but no Megamind.
Yeah. Let's
which
suggest.
Is interesting. Mm. And then Tangled, which is out this week. Daft Punk haven't made the list for...
No, Sorkin's obviously on there for screenplay, along with Nolan from Inception and Danny Boyle.
And they tragically overlooked Rob Schneider in
And Adrian Brody in Predators.
Yeah.
Which is a crying shame, but you can't win them all, Adrian.
Okay.
You can't win them all.
We'll look forward to that. I mean, I'm looking... Obviously, the chins are wagging a lot more about the upcoming Celluloid Heroes Award for Motion Pictures.
Yeah, the champs. Yeah.
The champs. Did you like that?
Yeah, I like the champs.
Good little name.
Yeah.
Just keep your votes coming in, and we'll have that show for you on Christmas Eve. So if if your parents get too drunk or something, or your racist granddad starts mouthing off, you can disappear up to your room and pop on our radio show.
Yeah.
Okie doke. Right. Well, it's time to lower our voices and put on our Max and waterproofs, and I've got a new waterproof
Berghouse.
Hat this week. Actually,
I'm going
to take and go down to the Hobbit set.
Hobbit Watch!
Quiet, Mr. Gandalf, you'll scare him off.
Oh, sorry.
Okay, just one little small piece of I've Got News, and I always say every week that it's amazing that every little piece of news we hear is good. Mm. That had to come to an end, like all good things.
Well, yeah, you say this. It's Orlando Bloom, isn't it?
Yeah.
But surely he's got to reprise his role. Surely everyone from The Lord of the Rings should
but
reprise.
He's not in the books. He's been written in.
Oh, he's been written in. Yeah. Okay, and in that sense, yeah, it's a shame.
And so, yeah, I mean, to be honest, when he has to play someone without devoid of any personality or character, he does an all right job.
So. Yeah, and he's not, so again, he's not
Legolas,
bad.
He was never really bad. He just... Yeah, there are a few really
it was,
bad
it was just
things.
His legacy from Legolas.
Annoying drama school voice annoys yeah. me. So, yeah, that's it. And apart from there's an ongoing race now, but, you know, we'll leave that. It's not really yeah, movie
I don't,
related,
we don't, we don't
so
want
we
to touch
that.
That.
Okay,
so we won't.
Yeah, sure. It's time for the stinker and the stonker, that part of the show, where we go through the hits and the misses of the films coming up on television this week. Okay. Let's play the jingle.
I'm the stonker.
I'm the stinker.
Mr. Stinker.
Okay, please ignore Edward's evil villain laugh.
Yeah, it's a good one, but it's temporary.
Yeah,
I've
sure.
got another lozenge in my mouth.
Yeah, if you can hear that, that sounds like someone like playing annoyingly with a tongue piercing, like the person who always used to sit next to me at school. Yeah, okay, so do you want to start with stinkers or stonkers this week?
Stinkers, as always.
Still not that many Christmassy films on.
There are, but they're all ones I've never heard of. Straight to video ones. Not quite, apart from Elf. But it's not a point.
You know, Elf is on pretty much every day until Christmas now.
Great, watch it more than once. Watch it and then try and remember it and see how good your memory is and watch it again.
What a good game!
It's a great game. Play it on ITV2 a lot. Okay, stinkers. Got Matrix Revolutions, which I think we put down before.
I've talked to someone about that today.
We got Hostage, Bruce Willis film. It's bashed it out.
Oh, yeah. Hostage. That is...
It's self-explanatory.
That's not... Hang on, that's Bruce Willis. You're not... What's the name of the one with Kevin Spacey and Samuel Jackson?
Yeah, that's The Negotiator.
The Negotiator, yeah.
I love that film.
Yeah, I always get that. And Paul Giamatti's in that as well.
Yes, he is. Yes, yes. It's a great film. He's great in that. Collateral Damage, Rivani.
Yeah, that's a stinker.
I haven't seen this. I don't know anyone who's in it. It was released 2 years ago, called Sharpshooter.
Okay.
It's about some sniper in the CIA Channel 5 film.
Well, if we haven't seen it,
Put it in. I'd just be wary.
Be wary.
Or wary. Depends where you're from.
If you're like tired.
Yeah.
Planet of the Apes. This is Tim Burton's
worst film ever.
I think I really hated Alice in Wonderland.
I didn't hate it at all. I really didn't.
Yeah, okay.
Too Fast, Too Furious.
That's awful. I saw that in cinema.
I think it's got to be between Planet of the Apes or Too Fast, Too Furious or Revolutions, but we keep talking about Revolutions.
Yeah, I think we might have done Matrix.
Because Hostage and Collateral Damage, again, they're exactly what they're saying.
Collateral Damage is not that bad.
Yeah, and
I would go for Planet of the Apes.
Yeah, okay. That's sorted. Stonkers. Okay.
Yeah.
A very, very well received film I can't pronounce.
Oh, Zatoichi.
Zatoichi.
Yeah, great Japanese film about a sort of blind samurai. It's very good, very bloody.
Okay.
Great.
Bloody good. Catch Me If You Can.
Yeah, cracking. If not, I
can't say it's my favorite. I absolutely love this film.
Yeah.
I can't get enough of it. But that's just me. Dogma.
That can go on there.
I like. If you haven't seen it, give it a watch.
Sort of an alternative Christmas film.
It's an alternative look at the Bible.
What's that say? That
and
one?
Miller's Crossing.
Oh, Miller's Crossing.
I haven't seen it.
This is the 1990 early Coen Brothers film. Sort of gangster, their first gangster flick, really. I think I'd have to go with that.
Okay, Miller's Crossing. Everyone's seen Catch Me If You Can. Well, we've got The Magnificent Seven, if you want an old classic.
And The Magnificent Seven.
I say, if you haven't seen Dogma, give it a go.
Yeah, it is good. I mean, it did get a very mixed reception. I just
like the originality of it.
Yeah, and Bum Chin's good in it, and it's very rare that Bum Chin's good in anything, really.
Yeah. Except The Town.
He missed out on a Golden Globe nomination for Best Actor in Town.
And a champ, apparently. Anyway, that's enough of that.
Well, we don't know yet.
We don't know yet. Yeah, we don't.
Okay. Right. Well, there's your stinkers and your stonkers.
Okay.
Let's listen to another song. And this is from Steve Coogan's The Parole Officer.
Yeah, we watched it recently. And it's not that bad. It's quite funny, actually.
Yeah, okay.
But, you know, it's not great.
Well, this is a song called Heroes by David Bowie and Brian Eno.
Yeah.
We're going to have to cut it a little bit short because it's a very long song. But anyway, Heroes, David Bowie. Check it out.
One day.
That was David Bowie with Heroes. That's a lovely noise you're making on air, mate. Have you finished gardening? Not yet? Okay, please bear with Edward. The consummate professional that he is. Couldn't wait. Oh, he spat it in the mug that we draw all the right answers out of.
No, I didn't.
That is disgusting, mate. Today's winner is going to be covered in your phlegmy... Whatever
you
that
say,
is.
Well, look, I feel a lot better now.
Oh, good. Well, I hope your voice is crystal clear after that disgusting display of oral hygiene. It's DVD review time. There is a couple of things out. I suppose Salt quite was... Was it end of the summer blockbusters? I suppose it was. I saw this in a cinema, and I didn't have time to rewatch it, but I remember.
You saw it in the cinema?
Yeah, I did, yeah.
Why?
Because I did it for this show, and we never got round to
doing
it. It was one of the very first shows, so I've still got my notes here.
Oh, right.
Although, we'll see how many of them now make sense.
Early
so,
September.
Salt, this is Philip Nonce, or Noyce.
What a Noyce.
Philip Noyce, he's Noyce-floor.
Noyce.
Starring Angelina Jolie and Liev Schreiber. Philip Noyce did things like Patriot Games, Clear and Present Danger, stuff like that.
Clancy.
Sorry?
Clancy. Tom Clancy. Didn't he do all those books?
Are they?
I think they are Clancy's.
The Harrison Ford ones?
Yeah.
Okay. So this was originally a vehicle for Tom Cruise. So I think it was going to be a lot more of... I mean, the guy who wrote it wrote things like American Gangster and Endgame. And
okay.
Stuff. So that's why I didn't really understand why this was so camped up, really. I mean, mm-hmm. it had with this... he also wrote the Thomas Crown Affair.
The remake.
Yeah, yeah, which was good, actually. I like the remake.
That's all right.
Tom Cruise pulled out because he wanted to do more comedy for some reason, so he made Night and Day instead.
Yeah. Which is a pun.
Which is another pun and a terrible film. So made by people with quite a lot of sort of action pedigree.
Yeah.
So...
Why is it
so stupid? Okay, so the basic story is Evelyn Salt, played by Angelina Jolie, is an FBI agent who takes someone in for an attempting to assassinate the vice president. The guy, when they get him into the holding and question him, says that he was going to be killed by a Russian agent called Evelyn Salt. And she goes, well, it can't be because I'm Evelyn Salt.
Right.
Like, well, then you are a Russian terrorist. lots of offensive stereotypes in there.
Yeah.
But we don't really care about that since they stole our World Cup.
They didn't steal it.
Let's not get bogged down in that. So it's as silly and exciting as you expect it to be. It's a very much a sort of on the run thriller in the style of sort of The Fugitive, things like that. I mean, but it, not really the female born. That I thought it could have been at its best.
Yeah.
And it's also massively unpredictable with plot twists all over the place, which is quite good in an age where films like this are so
predictable.
Ridiculously predictable.
Yeah.
And also quite good that it is not also. I mean, I mentioned like how those rooftop chases and how Paul Greengrass is like molded every action film in the last 5 years.
To be on
and,
occasion
and, the way that
and
this
to have some tiles falling off the roof.
I think it does benefit from veering away, and that's perhaps not a bad thing because it's already a genre that's incredibly oversubscribed and stuff, so it seems a little bit fresher to have it. Liev Schreiber's very good.
He's always good.
He's going in some pretty big roles at the moment, actually.
Yeah,
there's a lot in development for him. And Angelina Jolie does what she does very well. I mean, we mentioned earlier, this is just a pure fortissimo action role.
Walking the part.
No subtlety to it at all, really, but, quite fun. Right, also, what else did I see this week? Do you want to talk about The Expendables?
Okay, yeah, you know what? I can't wait to talk about this, because this is great. It's everything you'd expect.
Yeah.
I mean, and top right-hand corner of this written, absolutely ridiculous. As loud as I could write, absolutely ridiculous. The first scene, of course, is them on their previous mission. The Expendables are a bunch of mercenaries headed by Sylvester Stallone. You've got Jason Statham, who's his right-hand man. He's called Christmas, of course. Yeah. Someone's crazy a name like that. You've got Dolph Lundgren. You've got Jet Li. And then you've got a guy called Randy Couture, who was a three-time Ultimate Fighter champion. And Terry Crews, who was in the NFL. So all these big lads.
So very much like Red.
Yeah, but yeah. But
they're a little bit past it, aren't they, all of them?
They're all a bit past it.
They're one generation below.
They're one generation below, but you know they are, you know, all massive action heroes, all fighters, all sportsmen, you know, all big lads. And the first sort of real word. I mean, there's a bit what they're doing in the first scene is saving some hostages from some Somalian pirates.
Okay.
Very
topical.
Stereotypical there.
Yeah.
And the first word is they've got them surrounded, and Dolph's like, "I'll give them a warning shot." And gets his massive sort of shotgun and then shoots one of these, the main pirate in half. I mean, he shoots him on impact, half this pirate's body, this just flies onto the wall. Yeah. It's like, yeah, okay. Woo!
So does that set the tone?
It sets the tone. Dolph gets a bit gun-ho, though, and he has, and they're like, they stop him. Mm-hmm. And they basically let him go. Anyway, and that's the beginning scene. So these are the Expendables. And then you go back and they go back to their sort of to America.
Yeah, yeah.
They fly back. Yeah, they fly back and they go back to their lair, which is basically like a garage / tattoo parlor. And there's like a dartboard where you chuck knives at, and Christmas has a go and that. And then you got like Mickey Rourke, who
I forgot Mickey.
And Mickey Rourke's in it, of course. I mean, everyone's in it. You got first of all, so for first Christmas, Statham goes back to his girlfriend, and he's like, she's like, "It's been 1.5 years. You still don't tell me what you do. I found someone else." And he's like, "All right. Oh, great.
He's playing an Englishman.
He's playing it, thank God. Yeah. Or he just doesn't even try. anyway, Mickey Rourke is like, he used to be an Expendable. He just hangs around the lair now as like a tattoo artist. And for a bit of symbolism here, we got Sylvester Sloan, like, chugs on a cigar, whereas Mickey Rourke chugs on a sort of Gandalf pipe.
Oh, really?
So he's like the wise man,
yeah.
Okay? And he's a really good tattooist. Anyway, he's like, I got. He's also the fixer.
Yeah.
And he's like, "I got a job for you." And he goes, "All right." So he meets the guy who wants a job in a church. So Sly goes to the church and meets the guy. And the guy who's doing the job, who wants the job done, is Bruce Willis. Mm-hmm. So you got Bruce Willis and Sly alone in a church. And Bruce is like, you know, Sly's like, "What shall I call you?" It's absolutely fantastic. I mean, this 5-minute scene could almost be like amongst like the MTV Movie Awards or like the Oscars, you know, this sort of piss take scene. And Bruce Willis is like, "We're in a church, so why don't you call me Mr. Church?" Something like that.
Yeah.
And then it's like, before I go any further, we're waiting for one more man. And obviously,
Arnie.
Church doors open, silhouette of Arnie, he walks closer.
"Come to California."
And Arnie's
when
like,
"When can you start?"
Bruce is like, "Do you know him?" And like Sylvester's like, "Yeah, he's my oldest, worst friend." And then a couple of lines I've got to read. And basically, and it's between those two who gets the job. And Arnie's like, because they suddenly talk about, it's like, the job's on this island in the Gulf, which is Army the Dictatorship owned and then run and then fueled by...
an American, foreigner.
Yeah, generic evil army.
Oh, he's American, villain.
Bad. Well, no, too bad. He's got the army dictator, general dictator, and then the money, which is going to back, you know, kind of barren FBI agent who wants to go into the drug industry. He's played by Eric Roberts, who plays Maroney in The Dark Knight.
Mm-hmm.
Who I mean. He's great in it. He's actually really he's great at playing bad guys. Arnie's like, "I'm out." And before he goes,
due to scheduling conflicts.
Yeah,
governor. Of
being the governor. Well, this is it. There are two lines I've got to read out. The first one is before he leaves. He goes the slides like, "Why don't we have lunch together?" And Sylvester goes, "When?" And Arnie goes, "In 1,000 years." And like leaves. And Bruce Willis goes, "What's his problem?" And Sly goes, "He wants to be president." And I was like, "Oh, this. I can't. You can't beat this. This is great."
What side of the line is it on? Is it on bad it's good
I wrote at the bottom. My only worry is if Sylvester Stallone meant it to be so bad it's good, or he actually tried. That's my only worry. But let's say he doesn't.
Yeah.
I mean, it doesn't matter. As long as you take it with a pinch, it's fine. Mm. Third world, go to the third world. I mean, I love another generic. You go to the third world, you have a close up on two old people like playing some like wise game with some.
Yeah. With stones.
With stones or like bottle caps.
Okay.
And then you cut to a child like playing with like an old bit of string. and that's you're in a third world country, you know, because they're very happy with their string and their bottle caps. They have to single-handedly overtake this island, and there's about 300 soldiers on the island. The general, and unfortunately, the general's daughter is the informant, which is a shame. But boo-hoo, so that causes problems. Eric Roberts, as I said, is the FBI agent. He has his right-hand man called Payne, and he's played by Steve Austin, or Steve Stone Cold Austin, WWF. I mean, they're absolutely everywhere, these guys.
Are there any is every extra famous person?
Almost, yeah. I mean, and then, you know, you get the picture. It's great. I mean, it's so... And I put Expendables 2, why not?
Really? Does it set it up for Expendables 2?
They
must cost a lot of money to make this just in wage bills alone. Maybe Stallone's got a lot of favours.
I mean, obviously, the irony, Bruce Willis would have taken a day.
Yeah.
I mean, so that's easy.
He's really just given up on having any integrity now. There was a time where he was like, when he was interviewed about doing another Rocky or Rambo, he was just like, no, that'll just be stupid, you know, I want to...
He suddenly ran out of money.
And then he did Rocky 6, Rambo, whatever it
four,
is, 4.
And then the Expendables. He's been very busy writing.
He's obviously planning a very expensive divorce.
He wrote them all. He wrote them all. And I think for Rocky 6, he must have just written Rocky 6.
Yeah.
Improvise. Rambo 4.
Rocky
Rambo 6
is
4,
all right, though.
Improvise. And the Expendables... He wrote the Expendables and the cast list.
Rocky 6
improvise.
Isn't that bad.
Well, I haven't seen it.
Okay. Well,
anyway,
stupid,
but I would certainly... It's the best film, it's the most enjoyable film I watched this week out of the three, by far.
Sounds a lot like the A-Team in terms of its enjoyment.
So it's A-Team on steroids.
Yeah, literally in some cases.
Yeah. Anyway, that's
okay.
It.
Okay, well, I watched a film, because it was the only one out for this week's releases, and you got there first.
You'd have seen Night and Day.
Well, yeah. I mean, I
probably would have been shorter. How long was this film?
It's one redeeming feature is its brevity. It's 1 hour 45, which isn't too bad. But I will tell you that after 10 minutes, it feels like you've been there for an hour.
Okay.
After an hour and a half, it feels like you've been there for about 4 days. It's a bit like the
Inception.
Dream in the Inception.
Yeah.
So, Last Airbender time is about the same as the third level
down
of a dream
in subconscious.
In a session. Okay, so this is M. Night Shyamalan, obviously the guy who's
the
most
twisty.
Famous for his first twisty films like Unbreakable and
Sixth Sense. I like The Village. I've got to say, I like The Village, and I like Signs. Yeah. I like those. I like that. I like
of course,
them.
You did Signs. Okay, so it stars Noah Ringer, who I've just. Written, have we got the beep sound effect on today? He's f***ing awful. Okay, Dev Patel, so you know, there's the guy from Slumdog Millionaire, obviously, who is horrendously miscast,
right?
Probably the worst piece of casting I've seen in the year ever.
Oh no,
so it starts off with a little scroller and it comes up and goes, many years ago. When everyone on Earth had American accents. It doesn't say that, but that's what it should say. So basically, we're in this fantasy world where the world is... it's Earth, they call it Earth, but it's divided up into four parts and four different kingdoms. One are black people, one are Chinese people, one are Caucasian people, and the other one are just like, I think maybe, I don't know, Indian-looking people, South Asian or whatever. I mean, if it was directed by someone else, it would be a little bit racially suspicious. I don't even want to talk about it. Very funny for British people who grew up at a time when we did. The word bender is quite funny.
Okay?
They go like, benders ho! You can't help from laughing. It's like, you're a bender. That joke, I mean, they obviously didn't do any research into that at all.
Yeah, okay.
Lots of that. And so they find a little kid, a little bald kid, played by Noah Ringer, and he's got tattoos all over the face.
And he's the one who's awful.
And he is, basically, they can either, all the kingdoms are either fire, wind, earth, or air.
Like Captain Planet.
A bit like Captain Planet.
Okay.
Okay? So, and the people from the Fireland, they can manipulate fire, and they basically dance around like ponces like throwing fire at people, yeah, or throwing wind at people, or throwing air or water, whatever, wherever they come from.
And they're benders.
They're the benders.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. And there's a mythical sort of thing about a guy called the Avatar.
Right.
Okay, so someone probably should have told him that there was a film coming out this
called
year
Avatar.
That featured avatars quite heavily. Mm. And yeah, they can manipulate this thing called air nomads.
Air nomads.
Yeah, that's what they're called. And yeah, and they can chuck things around and stuff. And
how much did this film cost?
150 million quid, so huge amount. That's it's about the same as Inception.
How much did it make, do you know?
I dread to think, okay. So there's a prophecy that someone will come back and he'll be the Avatar and he can bend anything.
He can bend anything.
All the elements.
I'll bend everything.
Restore normality to the Force, basically, they would say if they wouldn't get sued about it.
Yeah.
And it's sub all of that. Sub Star Wars, sub Lord of the Rings, everything. I mean, eight minutes in, I wrote, the acting is next level pathetic. I mean, this kid is so bad.
Yeah.
I mean, it's so bad, honestly. I mean, I would recommend people to watch this because it's mental, like how this got made.
You wonder how a shiny man. I mean, did someone just inject him with brain damage?
I don't know.
Can he do that?
Dev Patel is the son of the Fire King, basically. Yeah. And he gets burnt because his dad burns him because he's a bad son or something. So he has these scars. He speaks an American accent, even though he is British. So it's basically like a big budget, 150 million version of like Rock, Paper, Scissors, the movie.
Right, yeah,
That, I mean, the main character is borderline unwatchable.
No.
And the fight, the choreography is terrible. Yeah, I mean, it's
don't watch
it. It's hard to explain how excruciating it actually is without watching it yourself. It's the least fun I've had in front of a television screen since England v Germany in the World Cup.
Well, that is horrible.
And I think this is probably even worse. I mean, but it's not that it's the story or the acting, it's just such clumsy, ham-fisted filmmaking.
I think it was
a cartoon. And when you've got a budget like that, I mean, it's just completely devoid of any redeeming features whatsoever. It's completely dreadful. And it's M9 Shiny Man, so what do you think happens at the end?
It's all a dream?
There's a big, big twist, and it basically sets up Last Airbender 2, which is in production.
Is it?
Yep.
Oh, no. Oh, my God.
Which is unbelievable.
So that must mean it made a lot of money.
I mean, it must have made enough to make another one.
Oh.
But I mean, its intended audience is probably, you know, alienated, geeky little 8-year-olds or something. But, I mean, imagine if you could take your children to see that. It is next level dreadful. I mean, it's top three worst films of the year with Vampire Sucks and Grown Ups.
Okay, brilliant.
But, I mean, worth a watch if you like that sort
well,
of,
it's,
you know,
it's great that
like
we
that
watch these films.
Not being able to take their
eyes. We have to watch these films, you know, to make sure people don't see themselves.
So tune in to The Champs, where we will be revealing the winner of the worst film. and I think I've seen every single one as well.
You have, yeah. I don't think Ramona and Beezus counts. And Just Right's not terrible.
Really?
Well, I mean, it's bad, but, you know, it's for a certain audience.
Sure. Okay, well, let's have another song, and on the other side of this, we will be revealing our competition winner, and we'll also be finding out which one of us is going to see. Well, you know, there could be another contender out this week.
Mm.
I can think of two.
Okay.
And so we'll be getting our question off the Quizmaster, but for now, we're going to listen to While My Guitar Gently Weeps by the Beatles from the film With Nail and Eye.
Guitar gently weeps. told you they bought and sold you. I look at the world and I notice it's turning.
How you doing? This is Ray Winstone and you're listening to Celluloid Heroes. Crack on.
Card. Okay, competition time.
Yeah.
Not many people got this one.
No, not many at all. It was hard. We didn't really plug it enough.
No, we
but
didn't.
But we got so held up on our champs.
It was a very short clip as well.
Yeah.
Maybe it should have been a little bit longer.
Hey-ho.
We got another toughie this week. But let's give you a little listen to this one, remind you of it.
Where is it you would imagine I am from?
Well, I imagine that there might be Kate Blanchett in Indiana Jones in the Kingdom of the Crystal Skull.
And I think you're from Ukraine.
Yeah, apparently she's from the Ukraine. Yeah. Yes, not Russia. Who said that?
No.
Okay. Well, should we get down to business?
Okay. Well, who we pick a winner first?
Do we pick a winner first, or do we scratch first?
No, we'll pick a winner first.
You get your cup out that you've spat disgusting stuff into.
Oh, that's quite horrific, actually. I cannot believe I did that. Okay. Well.
All right. Have you got one?
Yeah. David Webb from Southampton.
Okay, well done, David Webb from Southampton. How many weeks have we had now?
Not the David Webb who played for Leyton Orient.
No.
Different David Webb.
Okay. Well, you don't know. It could be the same one.
Well, yeah, well, if you are.
All right. Well, let's have a quick go. It's 5,000. When was the last time someone won? Mal Jutley won a quid. A couple of weeks ago. He gave it to charity.
Jutley won a quid, and he gave it to
charity. I gave it to Blind Dogs for the Blind, or whatever they're called.
Oh, good.
Outside Tesco.
Oh, guide dogs.
Yeah.
Good lad.
Okay, so you've got £10, £100, £100,000. You got two left, and you can't win, can you? No.
No.
Pound.
Oh, I'm sorry, Mr. Webb.
Not Howard Webb. Right, okay. Well, roll over next week.
We'll do a rollover.
If you would like that to us to sign that and send it to you, then get involved. Or if you have any other questions, do get in touch via
Twitter.
Which is at mycelluloidhero, or you can email at celluloidheroespodcast@gmail.com.
Nearly got there. Celluloid Heroes Podcast at gmail.com.
Okay. We also have a Facebook site, which is facebook.com/celluloidheroes, so you can leave a comment or what the kids call that now?
Or you can post. Post a message.
You can post
a comment. Yeah.
Okay. Well, let's play this. This will be our last one before Christmas, won't it?
Yeah, it will be. Okay. Yeah.
It's a bit of a tough one, but you know, I have faith in you listeners. So yeah. Let's have a listen.
It's very, very hard.
I thought you liked me, you bitch. Please, man. I'm suffocating in here.
Yeah, he's okay. In a giant plastic bag.
He is, yeah. Well, that's a bit of a clue.
Yeah.
But, you know, if it's not... If you think it's too hard and you can't get it, don't cry about it.
Yeah.
You know...
Let's just have a stab in the dark.
There might have been a little clue in there. It's only a game.
Yeah.
Oh, dear. It's like a catchphrase.
Yeah.
Okay, right. So what should we crack on now with?
I think we're very nearly at the end of our show. Not quite, because we've just got to do our Quizmaster.
Oh, yeah. We've got to find out which one of us will be seeing
a terrible, terrible film.
Some pretty terrible ones. Okay, let's play the jingle and then give him a ring.
Yeah.
Two men. One film. Who will see it? The Quizmaster will decide.
Okay, so, right, it's time to reveal our fate. The Quizmaster's going to blow us away with one of his questions. This could potentially be a record breaker.
Hello?
Hi, is that the Quizmaster?
It is, yes.
Hi, Quizmaster.
How are you doing?
I'm fine, how are you two?
Not too bad. Edward's a bit ill.
But yeah, I've got a terrible throat, Quizmaster. Terrible throat, and I'm a bit worried that I'm going to lose again. That'd be five times in a row. So a bit nervous, I've got a terrible throat. So if you asked me that again, I'd say I wasn't feeling well at all.
Okay.
Okay.
Blow us away with your question.
Okay, the question is, how many people did Arnold Schwarzenegger kill in the film Commando?
Okay, we're ready and go. 30 seconds.
Okay.
Well, I think that he says this in Last Action Hero.
Well, I know there's a... There's
a bit at a movie premiere, isn't there, where he goes, well, in the last film, he was killed 285. Maybe that's a subtle way of me trying to get you to write that.
Well, to be honest, okay.
I haven't written anything. Oh, no.
No idea!
Have you written anything? I've
written something down.
Okay, right. Do you want to reveal your answer?
Well, I put 205.
Did you?
Oh,
what
so
did you.
What
do now?
Oh.
Okay.
We both put 205.
We're going to have to flip a coin to go one below or one above.
Absolutely not.
Yes, mate, it's the only fair way to do it.
I'd rather do places.
You go, so. I'll go down to 104 if I get heads.
Oh, you get to choose if you get it right.
Yeah, okay. All right. I pick heads, yeah?
Okay.
It is tails.
I'm going 204.
You want to go 204?
Yeah.
Okay. Whew, this is nerve-wracking stuff. Okay, Quizmaster, can you reveal the answer, please?
The answer is 81.
Yeah! Yes! What a coin toss.
Bloody Last Action Hero.
No, it hasn't. Oh, it's agony. Absolute agony.
Oh, good. Well, I hope it really hurts. Yeah, all right, brilliant. Thanks
very much. 81 is a lot of people, though.
It is a lot of people, yeah.
I don't think that's as much as Rambo 4.
It's certainly not as much as in The Expendables, but Arnie doesn't kill anyone in it, but... People do die. In fact, an army of 200 died.
I mean, a lot of people die in the film Commando, but Arnold Schwarzenegger personally killed 81.
Oh, well, yeah,
right.
That's true.
Fair enough.
Okay, and that is on television this week as well. Yeah. Not bad enough to be a stonker, but a stinker, but not a stonker either. Yeah. Anyway, right. So I'll reveal Edward's film later on in the show.
Well, hang on. I won.
Oh God, what am I talking
What's
about?
What's going on? You idiot.
All right. Okay. Thanks very much, Quizmaster. Anyway.
Thank you, Quizmaster.
Cheers. Bye.
Okay. I'm just so used to winning.
Yeah. Well, that's
Edward will reveal to me. My show.
I might wait till Airbender 2's out and let you watch that.
Oh, please don't. Well, you know, to be honest, I would be quite interested to see it because I don't know. It couldn't be any worse.
I don't like.
all right then. Well, do you want to reveal now?
Yeah, all right. The film I will be telling Jack to see is Animals United, which is a sort of another 3D film.
It's a sort of CG thing about animals in the Sahara or something, but I think it's supposed to be a little bit educational as well.
Yeah.
Okay, well, to be honest, I'd rather see that than burlesque, so that's fine.
Yeah.
Well, it might be absolutely dreadful, but we'll see. I'm afraid that is all we got time for today. So a little bit of a shorter show, but we've got a big week coming up next week, and then... Well, and then our Christmas show as well, which will have more information. Keep you've been very good at sending in your picks for the nominations.
Keep them coming.
Keep them coming. We'll do Best Actress at some point next week. Yeah. And Best Film you can vote for at any time on the website, which is celluloidheroesradio.com.
Best Director as well will be coming soon.
Yeah, sure, we'll do all of that this week. So now we're going to finish with a song from a film called The Virgin Suicides.
Yes.
And this is by Air, and it's called Sexy Boy.
Oh.
Okay?
Yeah.
So, I hope it's not too raunchy for you.
Yeah.
Yeah, but thanks very much for listening, as always, and we will see you next week.
So hopefully it'll be better by then.
Yeah, I hope so.
I'll love be better.
You probably would have given it to me, and I'll be...
I hope so.
All right, well, have a lovely week. See you later.